there's more bad news than good news. So let me dispense the bad news first. The bad news are gasoline will rise in prices over the next 2-3 years, at least 200 to 300%, okay? For the simple reason, the next big wave of problems will come, there'll be food shortages, because there's more population growth, there is more highways, more parking lots, more subdivision, etc., etc., and the soil is sort of depleting. So that's going to be a major problem. Now, and also, we're going to be running out of gasoline, right? I would say in 8 years, gasoline will be rationalized, will only be available for essential purposes. So how are we going to get around? The fortunate thing is that, or the unfortunate thing I would say, is the United States is utilizing 120 million tons of grain to make ethanol to support the gasoline price. But that can't happen in the years to come. So the key is, as I said earlier on too, the grid system won't be there for electric cars. That will take many, many, many years. So how do we going to get around? One solution would be, that's the good news, we stop utilizing the 120 million tons of grain for ethanol. We're going to feed horses. We could feed 120 million horses a year. Okay? So we'll go back to the good old days. We would have, our food thing would be organic, because we would have lots of organic fertilizer. So it's just a win-win-win. Let me on a more serious note. If the economy doesn't move, nothing else will move. Okay, if there's an economic jam, there'll be a traffic jam. So, when we look down the road, I created 180,000 jobs, right, in 34 different countries. When we were younger, we all hustled a bit to make some money so that we can live in dignity. I have over 400 factories in 34 different countries in the world, and I could live in dignity in any one of those countries. I chose to live in Canada. Canada is a great, great country, but we have some major flaws. You know, the major flaws are our debt is rising like crazy. We leave the future generation with a mortgage, which if we're not going to make changes, they won't be able to pay it. Our bureaucracy is rising like crazy. You know, I'm very heavily into the food business in agriculture. I decided about 15 years ago to get out of the big car business. People don't know, I'm the founder of Magna International, right? People don't know, Magna is actually a major car producer. We have one factory where we build all the Mini Coopers for the whole world. We ship it from that factories all over the world. We developed the Mercedes Jeep, the BMW Jeep, and we also built the Aston Martin, the Rapide, the four-seater. It's a very unusual car. There's no welding, no screwing. It's built like an airplane. The whole thing is glued together. So anyway, the key is there won't be enough grid for the large electric cars, so that would not solve the traffic jam either. Our problem is at the traffic jam, right? So 2 years ago, the premier called me and he said, "Frank, I got a problem." I said, "What problem?" Well, he said, "General Motors is closing." General Motors has a factory in Oshawa, which is kind of near to Toronto. He said, "Look, give me some advice. I was inducted in the American Automotive Hall of Fame in 2018. So the Magna head office is about 20 miles, 30 miles north of Toronto in Aurora. So I had to go downtown a few times. What used to take me a half an hour from the outer ring of Toronto to the inner city, to Bay Street. Now, if everything is fine, it would take an hour, but it could take 2 hours. So I had to go downtown a few times, and I was stuck in the traffic jam. And I told myself, this is crazy. What a waste of human energies. What a waste of non-renewable resources. And what but most of all, the carbon monoxide to inhale that, right? That's why we have so many sick people, right? It's sickening, right? So it's a major thing. But anyway, I went back to the workbench, and I came to the conclusion, it's got to be a small electric car. I built the first hydrogen car in the late 90s. We had BMW together. BMW is a major car maker, right? We built it, yes. We built a few. Yes, it works fine, but it would be much more complicated, small electric cars. And the infrastructure would be much more. So I think the answer is, for the next 100 years, maybe small electric cars, you know? Because we cannot afford anymore to have large cars where four or five people could sit in there. It's not feasible. And a lot of countries now have placed executive orders where there's no more gasoline engines by 2035. Okay, so the very key is how we got to get around, and I think the answer is small electric cars. And when I say small electric cars, I mean those cars will be called micro-mobility. In loose term, micro-mobility means that you could park four of those in a regular parking spot. And to be more precise, micro-mobility, they cannot be wider than 3.5 feet and not longer than 7 feet. This way, two cars can go on the regular traffic lane of a big car lane, right? And so we could eliminate a huge amount of greenhouse gases because it's we don't use a lot of energy. To me, I don't understand why the large companies all they want the large electric cars. Doesn't make sense. The grid system won't be there, and it will take many, many years to build a system. Most likely small atomic hydro stations. But anyway, that's a separate subject, and that will be debated very heavily by the public, et cetera, et cetera. So the very key in the meantime is, because when we take a look, there's about 2 billion cars now on the road in the world. If they just use 1 gallon a day, it's like the St. Lawrence River flowing down. And you don't have to be a great scientist to realize we gotta be out of gasoline much sooner than later. So, but I started to say, if the economy doesn't move, nothing else will move. And if you can talk to all politicians, to all business people, most people, they all will agree, if the economy doesn't work, nothing else will work. You cannot feed the hungry. You cannot look after the most fragile people, the elderly, the sick, and the handicapped. But funny enough, we don't talk what drives the economy. The economy is driven by three forces: smart managers, hardworking employees, and investors. The message I want to get across is loud and clear. Workers have a moral right to some of the profits they help to generate. And this is where it will come in, because there's an enormous amount of debt. We got to realize the world's always gone through evolutions, and we've gone through evolutions from the caveman to the hunter, to the kings, to the servants, and now we kind of face the bosses and disgruntled employees. The reason I've done very well is I treated my workers as partners. When you engage employees in tangible terms, they get a portion of the profits. You release an energy of undue proportions. When I put in a corporate constitution in the mid-80s at Magna, the key thing was, besides the wages, the employees, they get 10% of the profits. And when we put that in, our profits went up the first year 40%, the second year 100%, the third year 200%. That's why I could build. I built maybe 2-3 factories every month, someplace, somewhere. Okay, we had an incredible cash flow because we had motivated workers. Right now, workers know the playing field's not level. They only will do as much, they won't be fired. It just won't work that way. So anyway, I developed a 7-point program, nothing to do with politics. It's pure economics, because if we fail, that Canada is on a sound economic foundation, it won't work. There's no future for Canadians. Just again, the bureaucracy is, you know, I come heavily in the agriculture, as I said. For 3 years, I built a greenhouse. For a greenhouse, you don't need no permit, but I wondered if in front of the greenhouse, I wanted to have a farmer's market. I'm waiting 3 years now to get a permit. Imagine just a farmer's market where you can sell organic food. It won't work that way. So we gotta take a look. And politics can't fix it, because the problem with, when I studied history, to me it was Winston Churchill, I think, was the greatest statesman and the greatest politician. Before he died, a number of years before, he said, damn politics, it doesn't work. We need a chamber of citizens to balance out the politics. I'm saying our chamber of citizens in Canada would be small business. Because if small business does well, the whole country will do well. And the reason why they do well, they all have the same playing field. That's not slanted. When you look at the tax code, it's a book like that deck, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of paragraphs in there. One is more convoluted than the other one. No society can work like that or can do well. So we gotta take a look. We gotta eliminate the debt in 20 years. No chance or approach. We gotta reduce the bureaucracy. No, in a civilized country, every citizen's got the right to find a job, whatever the openings are. But we could have a hiring freeze, so no bureaucrats gotta get fired, but there'd be a 10-year hiring freeze. We gotta have a black and white tax system. No loopholes, no advantages. Black and white. If you make more money, you pay more. And number 4 is very important. We cannot destroy free enterprise. So free enterprise, companies below 300 people will be classified as small business. Small business will pay no business tax. We gotta take the red tape off, because they're totally in red tape now. Yes, 2 rules will apply, workplace safety, and you cannot dump poison chemicals in your backyard. But take the red tape off and let small business start. There's about 1 million small businesses. They're all on the way practically going broke. We gotta save it. If they hire 1 job or 2, that's 1 million, 2 million jobs, right? So small business is the key. We gotta cater to small business. And so small business will work purely under the free enterprise system. Number 5 is, the 5th principle is, when the company is kept beyond larger than 300 employees, they gotta share the profits with the employees. Okay, anywhere between 10 and 20%. The number 6, so no present company is affected by that, is, call it a new wave how the economy could function. The 1.6 is high school should end at grade 10, then students got to be exposed to the trades, grade 11, grade 12, they would do the thing. It would be a win for the students because they would increase their knowledge of their wisdom, etc. And most of all, a lot of students would say, look, I'd like to be in the trades because I could make a lot more money than, than lawyers and accountants, okay? So that's very important, be a win for society, a win for the students. And number 7, no Canadian kid should go to school hungry. That means breakfast gotta be served. No Canadian kid should leave the school hungry. That means lunch has gotta be served. And below, the food would have to be organic. Okay, if somebody says we cannot afford to do that, it's a statement of, because what's the most important thing? That we have healthy kids. The kids must have a chance to grow up healthy and happy. There's no way with all the, when I got into the agriculture, I could see this huge chemical jungle. On the industrial farms, you see no more eagles fly. Why? There's no more rabbits. There's no more pheasants. We kill everything with fungicide and pesticides. Our kids all have allergies. The rise of stage 2 diabetics is enormous. We are grossly neglectful, grossly. The future generation might shoot all the with the lawsuit of totally neglect. But anyway, but there is a way out. If you want to have more information, it's economiccharter.ca. That you get more information about the economic charter and what we can do. There's no politics involved, and anybody can participate. Thanks for listening. If you got any questions, I'd be very happy to answer those. And but I think we're running out of time, so I kept my message a little short.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you.